everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. We made it, Ray. First day of February 2017. And it is Showdown Day on the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Live Line is open at 790-2040 for your calls and comments, and I'm sure there will be something said during the monthly showdown during the first half hour of the show. And then David Safir comes along from Tucson Weekly. He usually provokes some comments as well, so something will probably be said during the hour that will get you to the phone, and that's good because I believe talk radio works best when both sides of an issue are aired, and that's what we try to do with our monthly showdown featuring two gentlemen who are usually on opposite sides of the fence. Seated to the right of me, Mr. Sean McCluskey. Sean, Tea Party and Republican Party activist. Sean is the host of the newest talk show here on KVOI. It's called Talk of the Town, Saturday afternoon from 1 to 3. Sean, how are you?
Outstanding, sir. Thanks for having me.
To the left of me, David Morales, creator of the Three Sonorans blog site, which recently hit the milestone of 3 million views. David Morales, how are you?
Excellent. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. Let's begin, gentlemen, with President Trump's provocative decision to deny refugees access to the United States and to make it more difficult for people from 7 Muslim-majority countries to visit this country. The decision has been denounced around the world with considerable pushback in our own country and community. Just yesterday, a statement by 105 leaders from 57 Tucson area congregations and religious organizations sent a statement to members of Arizona's congressional delegation and to the president asking President Trump to rescind the executive orders that the local religious leaders, Sean McCluskey, believe are inconsistent with the values and moral fiber of the nation. Sean, aren't we supposed to be a welcoming nation?
We are a welcoming nation, however,
to strangers.
If people who cause a threat or unvetted come in, then there's an issue. And President Trump is working at the speed of business, and he will make some mistakes, but he'll also make course corrections along the way. So wait for the correction.
David?
Well, see, that's one of the great misunderstandings. The people that he has banned have already been vetted. They have visas. They're the people that you guys always say, well, if you're going to come legally, right? Well, these are the legal immigrants that you guys are always talking about. And now you're denying them access to this country, only from 7 countries, where not one refugee has ever committed a terrorist act in this country, ever. Yet Saudi Arabia, Egypt, where he has Trump hotels, they continue to have free, and they've had lots of terrorist activities.
So what you're saying is that no one from anybody on the list, he's just being a straight racist and blocking people from countries of his choice.
Well, here's the evidence. Rudy Giuliani this Sunday went on the Sunday morning talk shows, and he says, Trump came to me and said, I want a Muslim ban. And during the election, he always said, I'm going to ban Muslims, right? So just look at the evidence. He says, okay, I'll make it happen. And he says, oh, this is what we're going to do. Instead of focusing on the religion, we're going to focus on, you know, the danger and stuff. But like I said, if it's really about danger, you would focus on Saudi Arabia, where the 9/11 hijackers came from. And also, Trump went on the TV, and he said, we're going to give priority to Christian refugees to come into this nation. So he's clearly putting one religion over another.
I disagree. He is taking a stance that...
Why do Christians get priority?
Almost all the politicians that are supporting him behind this are with him behind the band. So you have to look at it from a whole. If there's flaws in the system and he's getting direction, he's just not drawing this out of thin air. He's getting...
Pretty much.
Security detail...
He did not get
security
any,
information
he did not get
and
any
briefings
clearance
and then
from,
making decisions.
He did not go to the DOJ. He did not go to Homeland Security. He didn't go to anyone. He just put this out there.
And you know this how?
Because he admitted it. We already know all this stuff. I mean, the media's been all over this. And
media's been all over this. We're supposed to believe the media, and we're supposed to believe the protesters in the street. Did you see what the media put up yesterday?
What
our local media put up a big F expletive on our local TV with the protesters. These are your peaceful protesters that are in the middle of the street crying about this.
Wow.
Yep.
That's local TV.
Wow.
I mean, you know, he just basically says that to all the legal refugees, but now you're offended because, you know, you saw that word that we all use all the time.
Well, no, everybody keeps saying it's a peaceful protest, but we have basically idiots in the street crying over what the president's doing, but nobody cried anything when Obama did the same thing.
What did Obama do? He banned seven nations from
refugees? Actually, if you look at what he signed, was it not approved by the Democratic Senate and Obama at the time?
What did Obama sign?
Obama didn't sign it. They approved it. And Trump signed it and put it into action.
From the seven...
Correct.
That was an executive
order. Muslim majority countries.
Mm-hmm. And then that's another thing. All these...
On the ban.
Obama's evil because of all his executive orders. I mean, this first week has had so many executive orders. So where's the outcry? Instead of outcry, there's praise.
You're absolutely right. No. You're absolutely right. Where is the Republican Party? Why is the Republican Party not leading the way? Because they have majority. Why aren't they coming up and doing corrective legislation? Instead, everything's being done through executive order memorandum because why? Where are the Republicans?
Well, and this is
where are they? Nobody can answer. This is the other irony. I'm a Republican, and I can't answer it. They're hiding somewhere.
The other irony is something that we've always talked about is that what the Republican Party always does is they impose restrictions and regulations on minorities, on Muslims, on women all the time, and yet they claim to be the party of deregulation. Oh, you know, my business is being regulated too much. But guess what? All these policies are regulations and restrictions on our rights, our liberties, and this is what you guys. Oh, restricting us from coming here legally? Those who have dual citizenship can't come here? You know.
How are you being restricted?
I'm being profiled all the time.
How is an everyday American being restricted?
Maybe not people that look like you, but people that look like me. Let's cross the border and let's see who gets waved through and let's see who has to get the trunk popped open to check. You don't experience this stuff. That's what's called white privilege. There's things that you're oblivious to. You know, you roll your eyes right now, but you're oblivious to how people are treated in this country that don't look like you. You know, the assumption is basically America is people that look like you, but Muslims, dual citizen, you know, people who have put in their time, who are you know, work as translators for the CIA and stuff, they're being detained at the airports, even though they're legal.
Ingrid is with us at 790-2040. Ingrid, join the conversation, please.
Okay, I didn't catch the response to the question about... I'll ask my question.
You ask yours, and we'll go from there.
What is the? Is there any overlap in a possible list that Obama made as to which countries are dangerous, and the countries that Trump wants to prohibit people coming from? And now I am neither a Christian nor a Muslim nor anything else. I'm a non-believer, so I have no. Dog in this fight. So can either of the two gentlemen or both address that issue, if there is any overlap in the two lists?
I think the argument you're trying to make is what I've heard a lot on conservative shows where, you know, Obama had this list of dangerous countries out there, but he did not ban legal, vetted refugees from coming here. Now you think about what a refugee is. A refugee is someone who's trying to escape for their lives from a dangerous war zone. We know ISIS is dangerous. We know Syria is dangerous. Those people want to leave. That's who's leaving. You know that, and those are the people who we vet. And like I said, there's never ever been a terrorist. You know who the biggest terrorist threat to the United States is based on data? White supremacists.
I'm going to say something.
They
very,
are the ones
very,
that have done the most domestic terrorism.
Unsensitive. It's irrelevant. We bring in 100,000 illegal, or we bring in 100,000 refugees annually. And if you look at the grand scheme of things, that's a drop in the bucket. It is a minute amount of people that are affected. Mm-hmm. Why aren't they going to the countries that are right around them, to the surrounded affected countries? Why are we bringing them all the way here, and then we're paying for them? This is where it gets to be a little personal.
It's called international law.
However, when they get here, they get better treatment than our homeless, and they get better treatment than our veterans. That's despicable, in my opinion.
How is it? You
were posting on Facebook that you wish some of this, all this anger directed toward what's going on with the immigrants would be.
If they just looked down the street, look at the protesters here in Tucson. If they look at the homeless, and they just looked at the homeless, and what if they protested about that instead? Look at something that they can do something about.
We do
instead.
Everything.
You have an ignorant group of people out there who are protesting against something that they can do absolutely nothing nothing about. Not a damn thing. Well, see, what they can do something about is they can do something about the veterans. They can do something about the homeless. But they choose not to. They choose to pick a fight that they have nothing that they can win with. They can't do a damn thing. All they're going to do is scream, moan, and cry.
What happened when there was a homeless protest downtown? Who was the person that kicked them out of downtown?
Oh, I moved them out of the park because they were causing thousands of dollars in damage.
Because there was protest. Because
our city council wouldn't do anything. Again, our city council does nothing
about this. But what happens when there's a homeless protest?
What does our city,
people like you fight it.
What did our city council do to President Trump prior to his election? They put out a memorandum from the city that says, we're not going to obey by your laws. What happened to the next person that said that?
That is not what they said.
Just I can read it to you from Rahina Romero.
Please read it to me.
What happened to the next person who didn't obey his law? She got fired.
You're lying.
What's going to happen to our city? They're going to lose funds.
Take a break right here. I told you folks that there would be something that would bring you to the phone. David and Sean really came today very prepared to do battle. We'll be right back on the Monthly Showdown. If you'd like to join us, 790-2040. Rita and Wayne will be up to the plate when we come back right after the break.
Einstein once said, as the bees go, so do humans. Five-star professional pest control techs have another option rather than killing the bees. We can remove them. This bee removal option is safe, effective, and next time you have a swarm of bees enter your personal space, call us and let us remove these bees. We have professional technicians on call 7 days a week, 886-0045. We know what burns
you. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, we'll talk with TUSD Governing Board President Michael Hicks. Plus, we'll preview the Bon Voyage Big Travel Show this Saturday at Westin La Paloma with Ryan Hansen, Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got worldwide live listening podcasts and our complete show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Monthly Showdown. Sean McCluskey and David Morales. Plus, we have a full board here. Let's get right into it at 790-2040 on the Showdown. Rita, you're up first. Hey, Rita.
Hello. Hi. I would just like to say one thing.
Go ahead.
I am very glad that Trump is letting Christians in here. Obama did not. And do you want to know what happens to a Christian in a Muslim country? They get killed. That's how tolerant Muslims are.
All people get killed. And if you look at the stats, it's actually almost exactly like 38,000 versus 37,000 Muslim to Christians. So that talking point is not true either.
No, it's not. It is.
Look it up. Christians are being led into this country as Muslims are.
All right. Rita, I do appreciate you making your point. Wayne, you are next. Hey, Wayne, what's on your mind?
One of the things that's really irritating about this argument is that people are using Facebook-like means to describe this border issue, this immigration issue and travel issue. It's not a Muslim ban. Muslims from Indonesia are not being restricted, and that happens to be the country that has probably the largest population of Muslims in the world. It is a travel restriction. And it is not a Muslim ban, and it really is irritating to hear people repeat that. Well, I was detained post 9/11 in Toronto for about three hours in a detention area, and I'm a white guy, and so I didn't really get my white privilege that day. They have a right to detain me to find out if I'm a threat to their country, and I, you know, complied. I had no choice. But that was my travel post 9/11 to Canada. So I just think everybody ought to calm down a little bit and maybe calm down the rhetoric and start telling the truth.
Well, okay, thank you, Wayne.
I think so far I haven't used any Facebook memes. What I did mention was the fact that what Rudy Giuliani said was that Trump came to him and said, I want a Muslim ban, make it happen.
And there is a lot of confusion about this word, using the ban.
Versus a restriction, like he
versus
said.
Versus the Trump restriction. Himself President Trump did tweet. It and I believe Sean Spicer, the press secretary, actually used it too, but they've walked that back.
So they need to be careful in the words they pick.
Exactly.
Okay.
Keith, you are next, my friend. 790-2040. What's on your mind?
Well, first off, Dave kind of got me with his international law thing. That has nothing to do with our immigration policy, I'd like to say. But with today's events with Iran and the statements made at the press conference earlier, we have to look at this now as we are a world at war, and let's be serious about the fact that immigration is an issue to be dealt with. Seriously, these protests at airports, shut down the airports, that's all. Just do that.
Well, I think back to the 1940s when there was these big barges of Jewish boys coming to this country, and they were turned around at the airport because, you know, they said we didn't want these people, and they went back to Germany. And guess what happened to them?
Not the airport
ports, the sea ports.
Yeah. No, not at the airport.
And this is something that, you know, we take refugees. I mean, every country takes refugees. It's part of the humanitarian goal of being a human being, and other countries do it, and we have too. And so I don't know, you know. There's more going on here. But.
And Sean and David, I think both of you, there are some areas that you two agree, perhaps not on this particular subject, but on one of the executive orders about building the wall along the border. Sean, I don't think you're on board on that. Is that correct?
I think it's a waste of money. I think there's different ways we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see a humanitarian switch, regardless of political party. Because you have people traveling across the desert, and if they would stop raping them and if they would stop dying while they're crossing the desert, that'd be one thing. But to have the coyotes be paid and have it be an, a criminal organization that is profiting from it, that is where we need to focus our effort and stop that first.
Well, I mean, most immigrants that come to this country from Mexico come legally. They just overstay their visa, the ones that you call illegal immigrants, but they actually enter legally. So the border doesn't really do anything. And then Trump said something that he tweeted like, a real nation is not a nation until we have walls on our border. But see, this is the racist thinking that people don't realize. It's like they're thinking about Mexico. They're not thinking about Canada. Why are people not thinking about Canada? So are we not a real country until we have a
Canadian? Have you crossed the border in Canada?
Hey, we don't have a real country until we have a Canadian border. That's according to Trump. Now, why is there no border there? Why is it only on the Mexican side? Because there's Mexican, there's brown people on one side and there's white people on the other side.
I think a French Canadian is worse than a Southern Mexican Hispanic. Okay, just in my opinion, what I'd like to see is if there we have a country of illegal immigrants here in this country that we're never going to take 200 million people and make them leave. Let's be honest. Okay, that's just the reality of it. So switch it from a sales tax or from an income tax and make it into a sales tax that everybody participates equally, because also our Social Security with false information and documentation that's out there is 18 million or so a year that's paid into it that's unclaimed. So are you on board with that or not?
What I think is that this is truly hurting our economy. Now, if you look at the population of Tucson, there was actually a bump that went downward, and it started in 2010. Now, what's happening in 2010? SB 1070, this is when we start going after immigrants. A lot of people left. You know, and then the housing.
I was going to say, you blame it on SP 1070. I'd blame it on the housing market. When your trades leave, you quit buying
Why
stuff
did people
because all
leave?
Those because they couldn't build anything here.
Because Arizona became an anti-immigrant state.
No, we weren't building anything regardless of whatever the idiots were doing up in
when
Phoenix.
When all your immigrants leave, I mean, all the people in your apartments, all the people who get houses, all the people who have their kids in schools and stuff, that's why we have all these schools that are empty that are, you know, the Tucson economy is failing because immigrants have to survive. They go to the store and they buy groceries. They buy stuff. They buy gas. They buy cigarettes. They buy, you know, they put their kids in schools and it functions. When you scare them all off, when you know, you think, oh, we're safe. But guess what? Your economy just took a hit.
Sean, let me ask you, some media commentators have been speculating that Mr. Bannon and Mr. Trump are really trying to turn us against each other in this country. And in other words, that the Trump does not care about appealing to anybody, but
we just went through 8 years of Obama race baiting both of us against each other. Every time there was a young black man or a young person of color who got shot, he praised that family and said that he wished it was like his kid and all that crap. But if a police officer, anybody of color that was a police officer got shot, he never said anything. So let's put two groups against each other there. First of all, that's Obama. President Trump hasn't done any of that. If Trump's done anything, he's bringing everybody back together. Because how do you bring people back together? You bring them back to work.
We're bringing us together against him. I mean, all his policies so far have been race-based. I mean, immigration, the wall, keep the Mexicans out.
He ran on everything that he's doing.
It's still wrong. It doesn't make right. I mean, he doesn't have a mandate. 3 million people didn't want him.
He signed an executive memorandum that was given him to him by President Obama and also the Democratic-controlled Senate. Obama never made it happen. Trump walks in, signs it, puts it into law. You're going to fault him for signing something that was approved by his predecessor, who is a Democrat. And you're a Democrat, and you're opposing what the guy approved.
I'm a Green.
So yell at Obama.
I have a lot of problems with Obama, and I'm not a Democrat. I'm a Green Party member. But I think there's a lot of things. For example, what about Putin? Russia is supposed to be our biggest enemy, and then he wants to roll back the restrictions that Obama put right before he left office. And, you know, Steve Bannon, you have Jeff Sessions just approved today. We're going to have, like, a whole white supremacist cabinet for the
Hold
first
on.
Time.
Obama throws a hissy fit and does regulations against Russia.
Even the Republican
All
senators.
All by his loan.
Even the Republican senators agree with it. They have.
You're giving me Republican senators that agree with it? Really?
Yes.
The same people that go against the VA. Yeah, I'm really going to agree with them. Regardless of whatever they. Yeah, no.
Well,
not
okay,
happening.
Okay. Putin is our friend, and
I'm not saying that either.
And then Bannon is on the National Security Council now, and they kicked out all the experts and stuff. I mean, this is ridiculous. What is going on here? It's madness.
Transition team.
It is madness.
Democrats won't even show up to approve people to their positions, and that's leadership.
Yes.
How is that leadership?
Let's see. We had 11 months without a Supreme Court justice. How is that leadership? What did you guys do?
Oh, we blocked it absolutely.
Exactly, because you guys are sore losers.
Oh, no, 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 mm-hmm. no. Look at the sore losers. Look at the people protesting.
Let's look at who won
look
by 3 million
folks protesting in the streets right now, accomplishing absolutely nothing except wearing out their shoe leather.
Let's listen to all the conservative radio shows. They're complaining on the radio shows. They're not doing anything either.
All
but yet they complain.
All right. On that, we'll end it right there. The Monthly Showdown, David Morales. We can find out more about you at thethreesonorans.com. Mm-hmm. And Sean McCluskey will be listening for you Saturday afternoon from 1 to 3.
Talk of the Town will tell you what's going on.
Thank you very much.
Thank
gentlemen.
You, sir.
Have a great afternoon. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive east of Tucson. Be a great weekend getaway for you. Southwestnewmexico.org is the starting place. Go there and you will quickly see there is more than enough recreation opportunities, including the really neat little community of Pinos Altos. 7,000-foot elevation just north of Silver City. It was a one-time kind of mining town. It was a ghost town. Now it's thriving again. So go to southwestnewmexico.org, the full list of places to stay and things to do. David Safir joins us now on The Buckmaster Show. And David primarily writes about education, although he writes about other things occasionally at the Range column at TucsonWeekly.com. David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill.
So much to talk about with the legislature in session, education. It just seems that a subject that we have addressed many times here in our segments with you, school vouchers, is pushed to the front burner, it looks like, up at the Capitol.
It is. There are actually two somewhat voucher programs. Vouchers are any time that taxpayer money is being used to pay for private school tuition, and neither of these do those that directly because of constitutional programs or problems. But what we're talking about here are the empowerment scholarship accounts, and those are the newer of the two, where a certain amount of money is put in a basically like a bank account in the state for a family, and they can spend it on educational uses for their children. And they can spend it on tuition and textbooks, and they can send it on tutoring and any number of things like that. Right now, it's only open to a certain number of kids. First of all, it was kids who were had educational difficulties of one kind or another. Then it was kids of the military. Then it was kids in D or F schools. Now they want to open it up to all the students in the entire state.
And you thought this would be coming. There was an attempt last year by State Senator Debbie Lasko, Republican from Peoria, to get this off the back burner and to the front burner. She's trying again this time.
Right. I didn't think I knew because they said it. They said, when we start this, we're going to start small, but our eventual goal is to have it for all Arizona children. And usually they're not that obvious, but in this case they were. So every year, bit by bit, they put more in. I'm pretty sure they held off last year. They didn't do much last year because with Prop 123 coming in, Ducey said, let's not stir up the hornet's nest and get anybody upset. We need all the votes we can get. But it's a terrible idea. I think vouchers are a bad idea anyway. To have universal vouchers is truly a terrible idea.
And one of our Facebook friends has written in and agrees with you. Margie says she is vehemently opposed to the voucher deal for private charter schools. If you agree with David or if you disagree, maybe all the better. We can get your conversation here on the Buckmaster Show at 790-2040. Call us right now. David, critics of this program say, of course, it siphons money away from public school districts.
Well, there's so many moving parts in this. It's hard to say, but yes, it does. If every student in the state can get one of these empowerment scholarship accounts, that means kids who would have gone to private school anyway will get this money too. So that'll be kids who wouldn't have been going to public schools. A number of, I think maybe 8% of Arizona children go to private schools. I don't remember the number exactly. Those kids would get a free ride courtesy of you and me as a taxpayers. The other people who would get it would be homeschoolers because you don't have to spend it on private school tuition. So homeschoolers who right now don't get any money from the state, they keep their kids at home, they educate them on their own, could get money for textbooks, they could get money for online classes, for tutoring, for anything that was considered educational. There are fairly strict guidelines about what you can use it for. And this is something that a lot of people don't realize, if you don't spend all the money one year, you roll it over the next year. And if you don't spend all the money the next year, you roll it over the next year. If you haven't spent all of it when you graduate high school, you can actually use it for college tuition and books. So this is money that is going to create all kinds of strange ins and outs, strange convolutions in the state. We started this. This came from us. And
I was
going to
say,
other states.
This is really homegrown.
It is. It's the Goldwater Institute, as a matter of fact, who started this, and now it's spreading in other areas. It's a very big conservative idea because they figure that this is a wonderful workaround. And it looks like we have a call, but
yeah,
this
do.
Is going to favor the rich incredibly, and we can talk about that a little bit later.
John is up to the plate at 790-2040. John, we're anxious to hear your opinion on this.
Well, I wanted to respond to the comment that vouchers are a horrible idea and all of that, because if that is true, and we'll take that assumption, then the GI Bill is a horrible idea, because the federal government gives money to veterans to go to whatever school they want to go to, and that has been a tremendous value to the United States. So I find the argument flies against the established the establishment who wants to keep everything rather than to create an opportunity for improvement. And I think vouchers will do more to improve public schools than any idea out there. Anyway, okay. Offline.
John, I like analogies a lot, but I'm afraid that I don't like that analogy very much, because you're talking about veterans. Veterans are going to college. We provide free public education for every child in this country from kindergarten, well, sometimes not kindergarten, but through 12th grade. We don't provide free college education. And so the GI Bill allowed people to go to higher education. I agree, it was a fabulous program. I would like higher education to be as close to free as possible, the public versions of it. But K-12 education is a different ball of wax entirely.
So you don't think the two could be, you couldn't call the GI Bill a like a voucher program?
No, it's not. Well, it is in a sense. It's a voucher program, you could say, for higher education. But higher education and K-12 education are really two very different animals.
And how much money is at stake with this whole school voucher program? If the money is, we're hearing there's not any money for public education, what are the lawmakers talking about money that would go, would money be taken away from our public schools for the school voucher program?
That's a very complicated question. I didn't come prepared with numbers, but basically you're talking about $5,000 per student per year. So that's $5,000 that will go towards education. What the voucher advocates say is, well, those kids would be going to public school, so that's $5,000 we don't have to spend on those kids. Well, it's not quite that simple when kids go to other schools and classrooms empty out. Schools don't have the ability to simply lop $5,000 per kid off of their budgets, and the same with school districts. But the problem is, one problem, there's so many problems with this, that kids who are going to go to private school anyway will get the money, that kids who are being homeschooled will get the money, and both of those will be an added burden on the state. Now, whether the state takes some money away from the public schools in the budget, every year, as you know, Bill, the budget is up for grabs, and they can do whatever they want. They can add hundreds of millions of dollars. They can take away hundreds of millions of dollars. So we don't know exactly how that works out.
All right, we'll see where that goes. 790-2040, if you have a comment about vouchers. We are going to switch topics. I think we're going to move on to the one of your pet peeves, right?
Well, before we do, okay. I'd love to say one more thing about vouchers, because I think this is really important, too. $5,000 per student. If you want to go to one of the Tony private schools in the state, you're going to spend $15,000 per year, not $5,000. $5,000 isn't going to help lower-income students go to the top private schools. It's not going to help middle-income students go to the top private schools. But people who can nearly afford $15,000 or can easily afford it will get a $5,000 check from the state paying for their private schools. This is a Christmas present all year round, a $5,000 Christmas present for people who are wealthy enough to send their kids to private schools. And in that sense, we're giving away money to the people who need it least and taking it away from those who need it most.
Senator Lasko, who is sponsoring Senate Bill 1431, says that the traditional public district schools are opposing this program, David Sefier, because they don't want the competition. Is she right?
in a word, no. But in fact, there that's partially true, but that's not really the reason. She's trying to say that it's a purely selfish reason. And in fact, it's far more than that. This is very inequitable the way it's laid out, and it favors certain people well over others, and those certain people are usually people of means.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're at 1244. David Safir is here, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. A quick shout-out to what I will be doing this weekend. I'll be at the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase, 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. I will be taking part, actually talking a little bit about some of my travels to over 100 countries. So it's a free event, West and La Paloma. I'd love to see you out there, 1 o'clock. The whole event goes from 12 to 3. Bon Voyage Travel Showcase, Saturday afternoon. Be right back. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. David Safir is with us. David writes about education and other matters at the TucsonWeekly.com. They have a column called The Range. Before we get to David and to our callers who are waiting and have waited patiently, I do want to do a quick shout out to one of our fine sponsors, Green Things. Green Things for all of your gardening needs. It is time to trim the roses, believe it or not, even though we are in, I guess, still considered the middle of winter. Just west of the intersection of Dodge and River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. That is where you will find Green Things at 3384 East River Road. They do these free seminars, sessions on Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. Find out about the guests this weekend at greenthingsaz.com. All right, David, we have a couple of callers who have been waiting very patiently. Dan will be up first, and Dan wants to talk about homeschooling. Hey, Dan.
Hi, yeah. It's very interesting. I find that someone who writes for a newspaper should give us a little bit more total information, such as people who do homeschooling, such as a couple of my daughters do for their kids. They save the state. The total amount is more than $5,000. It's more like $8,000 or $9,000, I understand it. So shouldn't they get a rebate for their $8,000 if they're taking care of their kids at home?
I don't know. You know, if I decide not to use the parks in Tucson, did you finish with your question? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, yeah, we're not talking about parks. I'm talking about...
I know, that I'm trying to answer your question. I'm using an analogy here. If I decide not to use the parks, I'm still paying for them with my taxpayer money. But please, I didn't interrupt you. Let me talk, or you can take this offline, either way. The provision of public education is a public good, like many other public goods, and we provide it for everyone who wishes to partake in it. If you don't wish to partake in it, that's okay too. If you remember, people who have no children are also paying for the education. This is something that we all pay into as a public good. Private schools, they're fine. Homeschooling, it's fine as well, but that's not a public good, and anyone who chooses to do that, basically, I think should choose to do it on their own dime.
Okay, Lillian is up next. Hey, Lillian, how are you?
I'm fine. Green Things is wonderful. I was glad you advertised it.
Thank you very much.
On the school vouchers for homeschooling, I have a different view. Some of the parents who homeschool do a fabulous job. I've had students who are homeschooled who went to high school part of the time, and they were great students. The problem in Arizona is there's no control over homeschooling. And so I also had a parent who pulled her son out of high school because she wanted him to babysit her younger kids during the day. He wasn't being homeschooled at all. And so I think what you're going to see, if you give a $5,000 voucher to parents to theoretically homeschool their kids, then you're going to have people who pull their kids out to get the money. Hmm. And if you have five kids and you pull five kids out of the public schools, that's $25,000. The state would have to institute some extreme controls in order to make sure that any of that money got spent on the kids. And so I think this could be a real disaster for kids' education and for state funding of public schools if you provide those $5,000 vouchers. Even though the gentleman who called may have been right about his daughters doing an excellent job on homeschooling their kids, there are people who do an excellent job, but you don't want to put a $5,000 voucher out there for anybody who claims they're homeschooling their kids.
I agree with you entirely. And I agree with you that some people do homeschooling well. And I've had students who've come to my high school classes who are homeschooled, who have all kinds of social and educational problems, I think, from not getting good enough schooling at home and being kind of isolated. But the idea of perverse incentives is absolutely right. You're actually telling people, geez, if you homeschool your kids and bank this money, you've got free free college education for them. And these people may have no idea of how to homeschool their children, which takes a great deal of time and a great deal of education and a great deal of expertise. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. So I agree with you entirely on the points you made.
And if someone is listening right now who is homeschooling their children, please pick up the phone, call us at 790-2040. Tell us your experience with that. While we wait for that call, David Saphir, what about this? It's been called performance funding. It's been around a while, and now the governor is proposing what it's being called results-based funding. What is that?
Well, it's something, let me start out by saying that it's something that Doug Ducey likes a lot, conservative educators like a lot, wealthy people in wealthy districts like a lot, too. They're the people who benefit from this idea, which sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it does.
And the idea is, listen to how wonderful this sounds. If a school is doing well, if a school is successful, we should reward that school. If a school is doing poorly, if it's a failing school, why in the world should we throw money away on them? See, that sounds wonderful. And so the performance-based idea is that if a school is in the top 10% in the state test scores, they're successful, therefore they should get more money. Here's where that whole thing breaks down. Everywhere in the world, the children from wealthier families, better educated families, do better on the standardized tests. And as you go down the economic ladder, not every child, but in general, they do less well on the tests. If you look in the Tucson area, you'll find that most of the A and B schools are clustered in Marana and in Vail and in Oro Valley, and some of them scattered around in Tucson, mainly in the pockets in Tucson that are well educated and have more money. And then as you go down the economic ladder, the scores go down to C's and D's and F's. So what this thing is, which sounds absolutely lovely if you say it in the abstract, is let's give extra money to schools where the kids have all the advantages. They've got money at home. They've got computers at home. They have extra lessons at home. They have tutoring at home if they need them. Let's give extra money to those, and let's take it away from the children who need the help most because they have the least educational and economic advantages in terms of schooling in the state. It's absolutely perverse and wrong and very destructive, but it's something that they're pushing very hard and have been for years.
You're talking about a correlation between a wealthier household with more educated children. Is that what you're saying?
They
have better advantages.
The children just do better. Mm-hmm. In every standard, if you give them standardized tests, if you give them IQ tests, they always look better because, I mean, think about it. You come from a home where you're well-fed, you get great medical care, there are books all over the house, your parents most probably have some higher education, maybe advanced degrees as well, and you see your parents and you say, this is the world that I'm going to enter. I'm going to be a doctor, or I'm going to be a lawyer, or I'm going to be a teacher, or I'm going to be some kind of a professional. Compare those kids to someone who is in a house where the parents have less education, fewer books, less money for extras, and the children say, this is the life I'm going to have. And so they don't have the same kind of incentives or the same help. And it happens around the world. I'm not saying anything terrible about these families. I'm saying that these children really need as much of our help as we can possibly give them, as opposed to denying them help.
All right, David, before I let you go, I do want to promote tomorrow's show. We have Michael Hicks, the new president of the TUSD Governing Board, will be with me for a half an hour on the program tomorrow.
Wonderful. Longtime member, but newly voted in president.
Mm-hmm. And I will be asking him about legislation perhaps to phase out desegregation mm-hmm. funding, mm-hmm. which funds which are used by TUSD.
Yeah, there's a new bill up. I don't know how far it's going to go, but TUSD and 18 other districts have money designated for desegregation uses, and a number of people want to pull that money away from not just TUSD, but from all those districts, which would be very, very difficult, crippling, I'll say, in those districts where there's not enough money anyway, and this would take away some of the added funding they have to help with some of the unique problems those districts have.
And TUSD has had that deseg order for, I think, one of the longest running ones in the United States.
That I don't know, but it's something like 40 years.
Wow.
The fact that it's still under court order is one of the longest, but these others are out of court order but are still getting the money to help enrich their programs and help, hopefully, to desegregate their schools.
All right, David Safir, we'll look for your work at TucsonWeekly.com under the Range column. Do you write, are there certain days where people can find your work? Or
well, 3 or 4 days of the week, you'll okay. find it there. I go as the mood takes me. I've written every day this week, and some weeks I'll skip a couple days. But when I pick up the paper, if there's something that's nagging at me, that's the day I'm going to write something.
And there are always a ton of comments, so you've got people thinking for sure. All right, David, I hope you have a great rest of the day and
a
good weekend coming up. All right, coming up this afternoon, Mike Check is the name of the show, and the host is Mr. Mike Shaw. Ray Allen ably assists Mike with that program. We do 6 of our 12 hours from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. are devoted to local talk, and I like that at KVOI. We do a lot of local talk. 6 to 9 in the morning, Wake Up Tucson Talking Culture from 9 to 10, one of our newer local talk shows. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with my friend Ray Allen, and we'll talk with about TUSD tomorrow with Michael Hicks, president of the TUSD Governing Board. Until then, hope you have a great afternoon and evening.